Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And that's way down towards the end of the Bible, almost at the end, but 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're on your phones pulling up the Bible, it's, well, 1 Peter 2. So it's a little closer. If you're reading the Bible, move back towards the end of that. And we're all going to leave church singing it as well today because it's in my mind. I just can't get that out of my mind. But it's a fantastic song. Amen to that. And today's message is the woes of the world. The woes of the world. And as I mentioned earlier, we talked about last week who God wants us to be, right? And when we discover that, we're on a better track to who He wants us to be. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will let us rejoice today on our journey to where God wants us to be. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 is where I'll start. And it says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, They may be speaking against you by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." And what Peter's doing is reminding us, guys, we're just passing through. This is not our permanent home. Jan Caldwell, your father now knows he's in his eternal home. Jerry Nicely is in her eternal home. Donna Clark's father is now in his eternal home. We are just passing through here. And we have to keep that in mind. And he says, while we're here on this earth, passing through to our eternal home, abstain from those things which entangle us and ensnare us and trip us up. We want to have our conduct honorable so that our acts, which they observe, will glorify God in the day of visitation. We want to know that what we do is honorable to God. We want to know that the things we do make Him happy and fill Him with joy. And a lot of times what we do are acts that fill us with joy because we want to be happy. Many have given a lot and sacrificed a lot. And they say, "I deserve this for myself. For once." And that isn't to say that we can't take care of ourselves, but we should be very careful what we're doing, that they're not pleasures that dishonor God. And in verse 13 it goes on and it says, this is very important to me. It says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." For the Lord's sake. "Whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God." And we always want to make sure that we're in the will of God. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." This is a very short phrase, but has so much power in that and what we're reading in there. And it talks about when the second word in there, therefore, submit. And I think when we're on our journey to becoming who God wants us to be, I talked about, hey, let's start a movement. Can one person start a movement? Absolutely. But I don't think any movement is ever started without believing the cause. You have to believe the cause. To start a movement, to start a change, you have to believe in why you're doing that. When we believe in Christ, we should know that's why we're doing it. For His name's sake. to glorify Him in the things that we do. So it says, therefore, submit yourselves. Submission is key to being a Christian. There are many Christians, many Christian leaders that do not, will not, cannot, have not submitted. They have to submit. And we'll touch on that in just a minute here. It goes on to say, whether to the king and do these things. Verse 15, for this is the will of God. We want to be sure again that we're in the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence these things. And it says in verse 16, but as bondservants of God, as bondservants, we should be submitting all we do to Him. The way we act, the way we speak. We learned earlier about the way people speak about other people really affects them. And especially at a young age, we should have no tolerance for bullying. And I went to the, I don't know what you call it, the less experienced Bible study this morning, Sunday school class. I said, well, I'm old, but man, I'm less experienced. So I went in there and we talked about Christian bullies. And there's Christian bullies that were back in the day. Pharisees were Christian bullies in my mind. But we have to be so careful when we're trying to tell people about our faith. That should be with excitement and joy. And not fear and threats and condemnation. The Holy Spirit will take care of that stuff. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction on them. But we should talk about our conversion, life before, and then once we met Christ, and the life change afterwards. And for some like me, I talked about a prideful lifestyle that I felt I had and carried. And a lot of times we don't see it till someone knocks us off of where we are, pulls a rug out from under us, but it's often very difficult to see your own pride. But as bondservants of God, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak, we should be submitting to Him. We should not use that liberty and that freedom we have in Christ to cover ourselves when we do wrong. We should be very careful with that. It goes on in verse 18. And it says, servants. Let's just stop right there. Servants. We are to be servants. We are to serve one another. We are to serve the King. He came not to be served, but to serve. And He left us that example. And the very first thing it says here is, servants, be submissive. Again, we should submit. And who are we submitting to but our Master? Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. That would be easy. But also to the harsh. Those that are rough on you, it still tells you to submit to them. For this is commendable. Why? If because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? When we know we've done wrong, and we take our punishment, it's like, big deal. I did wrong, I'm taking it. But it's a whole different person that takes it when they were not wrong. When you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. And it says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. We are to submit with fear. And last week we talked about having the fear of the Lord. It said we should not fear God, but at the same time we should have the fear of the Lord in us. There's a difference. He said, no need to fear God. No need to fear the angels. But you must have the fear of the Lord. And remember last week, why should we have the fear of the Lord? It said, so that you may not sin. It's for our own protection. In chapter 3 of 1 Peter, it talks about submitting to wives and husbands. But it goes on in verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Not that those aren't important, but it's not where we're going today. And it says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should offer for righteousness' sake, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. We are blessed when we suffer for his name's sake. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. When we have the peace of God in us, and we understand that, that pushes out fear that we have. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means set it apart, set it separately in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone. To everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I've got to get different glasses. I'm sorry, folks. I know what I'm reading. I just have a glare up here that is crazy with these things. It is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing well than for doing evil. When we do evil, suffer again, we know that we've brought that on ourselves. But when we do good and have to suffer, God looks at us and says, you've taken that faithfully. I know it was unjust, but you've taken it. Now that doesn't mean be a doormat for all kinds of wrong. We should stand up, but also we should take those things and let our good works justify our actions. And it talks in the very beginning, said, even if you suffer for righteousness. On Wednesday night Bible study, we're in Acts and we're talking about the disciples preaching in the name. They threw them in prison. And then they come to get them out the next morning and check on them. They said, well, we've got some guards here. Doors closed. There's nobody in there. And I just picture some young, innocent boy running around the corner going, hey, those guys you're looking for that were supposed to be in there, they're out there preaching just like you told them not to. And that's where they were. They were out in the center again, the temple, preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. And said they took them peacefully because they didn't want an uprising from the people. But they took them peacefully back to them. But when they got them in there, said, did we not tell you don't do this? And they said, well, who were you to tell us? Because we've got to do what God has told us to do. Then they beat them. But when they walked out, it said they beat them and they considered themselves, I guess, lucky, if you will, to have been beaten for his name's sake. Now that's a hard place to find yourself. Hey, they just beat me. But they beat me for Jesus, so I'm going to take it. And I literally picture in my head them skipping out of jail going, big deal. We're black and blue and bruised all over, but we did it for Jesus. And we took that beating for Jesus just like he took for us on the cross. Submit, it tells us to do. Submit with fear of the Lord. He suffered and left us that example. Turn over to James chapter 4. Just a few pages back. And in James chapter 4, verse 6 through 10. But he gives more grace. And it talks about pride promoting strife and to put that pride away. But it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Well, that's a concept, is it? Isn't it? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And the last word says, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. As I said last week, many of us want to be here. I don't know if it's in life. I don't know if it's in financial status. And by here, I mean on some elevated level. And God may want us down on the lower level or one step or two steps down. Say, I just need to be right here. Be faithful on that. And other times, he may want us where I was last week, down on the floor, down on our knees, and say, this is where I want you. See, you had this big picture of being a millionaire, but I had this picture of you being a missionary with very little, down on your knees, coming to me for lost people and lost souls. Submission. We talked last week about repentance. And I think a lot of people get caught in their sin. They feel bad. They feel guilty. They may ask for forgiveness, and all that is great. Those are steps. But if you miss repentance for an ongoing sin and ongoing wrongdoing, and we miss repentance, we've really missed it altogether. We may get forgiveness from man, we may get it from God, but the repentance is where your life changes and is altered. Our life is altered when we meet the Savior. But when we go back into ourself, he's just in the background. It's like taking a picture at a basketball game, and he's one of those people in the bleachers. You just don't know where he is because you've put him in the background. But this tells us God resists the proud, but to the humble he gives grace. So last week where we talked about repentance, this week we talk about humility and submission. Submitting to him, the Savior. You're not submitting to myself. You're not submitting to Pastor Eric. You're submitting to God. Now there is a certain submission as the pastors of the church that there should be. But I'm talking about, God is talking about submitting to him and his authority. Where we just sometimes want to ignore that and think, if God isn't speaking audibly where I can hear him, then surely I'm okay. Because I haven't got a sign from him. I haven't heard from him. I guarantee when you are still and know that he is God, in that silence, you will hear from him in one way or another. The woes of the world say that we take care of ourselves. But God says, I'm not about that. And we talked a little bit in the Sunday school this morning about, do you think they were expecting someone to come in a mighty way and slay all the evildoers? But the people looking for that, the Pharisees, they were really the ones Jesus was looking at, saying, I think you guys are missing it. As we talked about the tax collector today, who submitted himself and humbled himself The Pharisee stood there and said, I'm glad I'm not like them. I fast twice a week. I do these things. And I'm especially glad I'm not like that tax collector. The tax collector beat his chest and say, have mercy on me, O God, for I am a sinner. And he went home redeemed because he submitted himself. And I said, it's a hard thing for us as a church to do, to submit ourselves in front of one another. Even in private, it's hard to do. Why? Because we all still judge. We should be better at that, but we all still judge. And we don't want to be judged. We don't want people to look down on us for being real and for being honest. And I appreciate our prayer partners and our prayer team. And Jana, a week or two ago, prayed over me and prayed for God to lift me up. And so I'll be the first to say, I need some prayers. Because these last couple weeks have been rough. They've been hard and they've had a lot of things going on. And as a pastor, as a person that has another job, there's been a lot going on. And emotionally, it's draining. And I'm not saying, oh, poor pitiful Adam. I'm saying, let me be the first to say, I could use prayer. Because I'm human and I'm tired and I'm worn out. And there's a lot going on in here that I'm just drained. And if that helps you to know that I'm real, I'm no robot up here. I struggle just like you guys do. I hope that helps you to say, God, okay, I need some help also. I talked last week about, is there one person that says, hey, let's start a movement. Let's start a movement of accountability. Let's start a movement in our school and our work. And some of you have started movements. We've started movements in the church. We've started Sunday school and groups that meet outside of here. Different groups that get together at different times. Maybe for older retired people. We had a new group start this past weekend at the church making the quilts. We do the food bank. We're looking for different opportunities to do devotions at the Arbor House. Those are all movements, and they're great. God says, man, just keep on moving. Keep on moving and starting movements. Not just to start them and walk away from them, but I'm talking about effective ones. So let's continue searching out who God wants us to be. And I think we'll discover that when we repent, when we submit, and when we humble ourselves. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word, the instruction that you've given us in it. And God, I ask that as a church body, we open this, we study this, we get to know this more and more every week. That every week is a desire amongst us, a desire to get further in your word and in your knowledge and in your wisdom. Those are the things that will free us and help us when we come against darkness, when we come against trouble, when we come against evil. God, that your word lifts us up. For it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, showing us the path we should go down. God, we need a light for our path each day. When we are without your word and without you, we lose sight of where we're going and who we are. Lord, my prayer today is that those that need to humble themselves can do so, that they will do so, that right now they're thinking about that. God, those that are far from you, they are drawn near to you. For we just read, when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. God, help strengthen us in our walk. Help us this week, Lord, as we go out and face the world and the ways of the world, that you would guide our path. You would guide our actions and our words to those we know and don't know. Lord, to those that are sick and hurting, to those that have lost loved ones, we ask you to bring comfort and peace to them and fill them with a joy that only you can give them. Lord, be with us as we go out this week. Help us be light. Help us be salt to those we come in contact with. And help us be great representation of the love of Christ for one another. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.